Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
When you open the door, will your mystery date be a dream or a dud? Oh!
I'm Jim Burns. Well, based on the latest Census Bureau statistics, the nuclear family is changing. People are waiting longer to get married, and the number of adults re-entering the dating world continues to rise. All of this means that dating is growing in importance in modern culture. It's not just a matter of an extremely nervous teenage boy mustering up the nerve to ask the girl of his dreams out to the movie anymore. If you're in the dating season, you might be able to pick up a couple of pointers in the next half hour. And if you're a parent whose kids are old enough to start dating, well, today we'll give you some very good information you can share with them to really enhance their dating relationships. Dr. Henry Cloud joins me for a discussion on how to get a date worth keeping today on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today on the program, we're going to go back into the archives for a conversation that Jim had with Dr. Henry Cloud. Now, Dr. Cloud has written a number of best-selling books. Of course, he's part of the Boundary series that he co-authored with Dr. John Townsend. But a few years ago, he wrote a book that really intrigued us, especially based on what you heard Jim share about the number of adults entering re-entering the dating scene. Henry wrote a book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, and we had a conversation with him about it, and what you're about to hear right now is part one of a two-part conversation on the theme of dating God's way. By the way, this program is available online. We'll tell you how you can go to the archives and hear it anytime in just a moment. And now, here's Jim.
Welcome back to Homeward. I am smiling today because we have Dr. Henry Cloud with us, one of my favorite people. Henry is a popular author, speaker. He's the co-founder of the Cloud Townsend Clinic, and he's dedicated his life to helping others improve their relationships. Probably most people on planet Earth have heard of the book Boundaries and then the other incredible books, Boundaries. But today we're not talking about boundaries. Well, we will talk a little bit about boundaries, but we're talking about dating. And it's very important for anybody who is single listening, but also parents of children or parents who know singles, because let's be honest, a lot of us never were trained in how do we date, what about dating, and there's lots of confusion. And as I was reading Henry Cloud's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, he was called the dating coach. Henry, welcome to the program, and I never have thought of you as the dating coach.
Well, Jim, I didn't aspire to be one, but what happened was, just out there kind of doing work and speaking at conferences and things, I kept hearing this question over and over and over. It was, and I have to think it was a God thing, because it would be the same question. I would go speak somewhere, and a handful of oftentimes single women, like four or five of them, would come up as a group, sort of like they could go to the bathroom together. Well, they go talk to the speaker together.
That's right.
They would walk up and say, "We have a question." And I'd say, "What?" And they'd say, "Why aren't we dating?" And they would be, you know, various ages, but all energetic, outgoing, friendly, attractive, smart, social, and no dating. And some of them would say, "It's been a year since I've had a date, or 2 years." And I basically said, "I don't know. It makes no sense to me. If I were single, I'd ask you out. And I just don't know." But here's what I did. I said, "Let's find out." So I put together, this was about 12 years ago when I started this, I put together a bunch of dating groups from around the country. And we kept contact by email and phone. I went through the process of dating with them and tried to figure out. And you know what I found out? There are some reasons why people who want to be dating and who are not dating are not dating. And we figured those out. We developed a program. We got them on the program. And that's how I turned into a dating coach.
I'm laughing, Henry, because I've known you way before you were married. And I remember even watching you do the dating process.
How did I do?
Well, I'll tell you what. You finished well.
Finished well. We won't comment on the journey, right?
I appreciate that. And actually, the question for me is, you know, these women come up to you, because the same thing is going to happen. It's not just women; it's men too. And they now say to you, "Why aren't we dating?" And what do you say to them now? Besides hand them your new book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
Well, I think that there are there are a bunch of reasons, and what I try to do in the book is kind of, you know, help people figure out what the specific ones in their lives are. But some are cultural reasons in the, you know, in the bigger picture. But there are some Christian culture problems with dating, and why a lot of singles in the Christian culture, I think, find themselves a lot more stuck than oftentimes, you know, in the non-Christian culture. I think that's part of it. But Jim, to be honest, you know, if we get down to it, and this is what I've got an early chapter in the book called A Gut Check. Because I want people to know, look, if you're going to hang with me here, I'm going to say some hard things to you. And what I'm going to say to you is that you've got to become a steward over this aspect of your life just like you would any other aspect, and you may have to look at some issues that are keeping you stuck. Because what I see in the Christian community is people are being fed a theology that is nowhere in the Bible, nor do they apply it to any other area of life. And here's what they're told, Jim. Don't even think about it. Don't focus on it. Just wait, and God will drop that person into your life. Now, does anybody get a job that way? Do you find a church that way? Do you develop a support system that way? Do you find friends that way? Do you get your food that way? No, and that's not what the Bible teaches about anything. This is an area that you have to look at yourself, and you have to get the log out of your eye, and you got to grow, and you got to sow, and you got to get out of the boat and go possess the promised land, and you've got some things to do as well.
You know, one of the things I do appreciate is you, in this is one of the things you say is dating has some risks as well. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's got a lot of risks, and it's sort of, you know, one of the things you have to figure out is who are we talking about being at risk, because that's the various kinds of risks you want to take. You know, when you or I, who both end up with speaking schedules and flying a lot, every time we get on an airplane, we're at risk, and mainly what we're at risk at is not crashing. The biggest risk, as I see it in my life, Jim, is all those germs and colds and run down and no sleep. And I think about, I'm always at risk when I'm more run down and getting sick.
Sure.
Right? Well, other times when I'm not run down, I'm not as at greater risk, but I got to be out there and exposed to germs. And, you know, dating is like that. When you're going to get out there dating, you are at risk by definition. Dating is about built-in rejection, in a sense. That dating is a social activity where you spend time with people and you know get to know people and you go do fun things. But kind of at the end of the day, you know, in somebody's single life, you go out with many more people than you actually choose to be the one, right? So you're at risk of being with people that maybe you don't like, and you've lost some time or you've lost some energy. But on the other side, maybe you do like somebody and they don't call you back. And if somebody is going into that kind of risk with their immune system down, then dating is extremely risky, and you shouldn't be out there, really, if a rejection is going to send you into a depression for 6 months where you don't go outside again. You got to get well first. And one of the things that's important, I think, and I talk about this in the book, is you never date in a vacuum. You know, if your life is not filled with a spiritual community of a handful of people that love you and validate you and challenge you and lick your wounds when you have a bad dating experience, if you don't have that kind of support system, you shouldn't be out there. So that's number one.
You know, when you're talking about that, Henry, so many people say, you know what, I don't date, but I also don't have that support system. What you're saying is go find the support system first. Later in your book, you talk about getting your dating self in shape.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's the kind of thing where you've got to work on your own health. If you want to have a good relationship with somebody, then you've got to be somewhat healthy to bring some health into the relationship.
Oh, Jim, I can't tell you how dangerous it is for people who are lonely in life to be dating.
Isn't that interesting?
Because what happens is, you know, if look at it this way. If you're in a foreign country and you haven't eaten for 3 days or whatever, you know, some guy can walk up with a cart selling something on there and you're starving and, you know, you'll eat it. Now, where's it been? Who knows? I'm starving. And when people don't have a full life and they don't feel loved and supported and validated just in general, then what happens is they do end up getting attached to bad people. I don't mean necessarily that people are evil, but they think that a bad relationship's better than no relationship. And because they don't have enough love in their lives, they're attracted to sometimes really problematic characters that they wouldn't want to be with long term. And because it's the only person that they really have, they don't do good dating, which is good dating is I think, you know, where you're not getting involved with the first one who comes along. You're dating 1,000 people. And here's what I said to one young man. Look, you know, you got to date enough people to where somebody stands out in the crowd. And that's the one that becomes significant. But it's not hard to stand out in a crowd of one. And if somebody's only, you know, they're getting attached to the first person who comes along, then they're usually doing that out of loneliness and desperation, and they're not working on their support system and their health issues.
Very good input from Henry Cloud. We're going to take a break right now. Really, we're talking about one of the most important subjects in relationships, not just for somebody who is single, but also for parents who can talk to their kids about this. The interesting side to it is he's actually making a lot of sense, and yet there are probably some Christians who would absolutely disagree with some of the words he's saying, and I want to bring that up when we come back.
Well, we're talking about a book that Dr. Henry Cloud wrote a couple of years ago called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. Doesn't necessarily sound like a Christian book per se, but as you've been listening to today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we hope you're hearing the biblical principles that are throughout this resource. I'm Roger Marsh back here in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers and people who successfully date since 1899. And this is an interesting topic. We're digging back into the archives for a program we recorded a couple of years ago with Henry Cloud. I want to jump in quickly here to remind you that if you want to learn about Henry's book, you can go to homeward.com in the radio broadcast section, hit that tab. It'll take you to the listing, and then Henry's website is hotkeyed. Also, if you're looking for resources on marriage, go to the articles and media section, articles and tip sheet section. You can punch in dating, marriage, any of those topics, and find a plethora of different tip sheets, articles, videos, and more. And now, without further ado, let's continue. We'll resume the conversation and hear the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Here once again, Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry has a new book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. And some people are calling Henry the dating coach. And if you heard at the beginning of the program, we laughed about that because anybody who's called the dating coach would act like they have it all together. Henry doesn't. And I appreciate that so much. He doesn't act like he has it together.
So, with such conviction, Jim.
It almost sounded like I said, you don't have it all together.
And yet, that is what you said.
Before the program, we were talking about how much I admire and respect and read your material. So I'm red-faced here on radio. Henry, you were talking before the break about date 1,000 people, and there are people saying, amen, I'd like to just date one person. There are probably some Christian people out there who really disagree with that.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying, I'm in a Bible study, and there's one person there who's single, and I should be dating that person, or they are saying to their kids, don't date around because it's too dangerous. You know, what do you say to those people?
Well, you know, I don't impugn their motives, but what I would say is for a lot of reasons I disagree. Most of those reasons have to do with, you know, thousands of situations that I've walked through with people. I think their motives are, you know, there's a whole movement out there about that, you know, dating itself is bad and it's not spiritual, and if you're really a Christian, you'll just trust God to bring this person, and you don't date at all until you find the one that you think you want to marry.
Right.
And, you know, in part, and I've studied all that stuff, and in part, the motivation for that is because a lot of people have been hurt in dating, that dating itself gets a bad rap, and say you ought to stay out of it because it's not of God, it's from this culture, and it's from the flesh, and why get your heart broken and sleep around and this, that, and the other. And that's a fear-based logic that I don't see in the Scriptures. It's a little bit like, you know, well, I knew somebody had a car wreck, so we shouldn't drive cars. You know, there are godly, biblical ways of dating that are very life-enhancing and very incredible growth experiences and just a great social activity in and of itself, that I don't think because there are some bad scenarios out there that you avoid life. I think what we do is we train our kids and we train our friends and we train singles and we support singles in dating well. And the other reason for that, Jim, is basically you do hear the exception. You know, there is the exception of somebody who married their childhood sweetheart. You know, they found him or found her in high school or college, first one they ever fell in love with, and that was the end of their career.
Right.
And they're married for 80 years, and, you know, and you do hear that. But for the most part, what you hear is, and I hear this a lot from people who did not have what I would think is healthy dating experiences, where they're getting to find out about basically about three things: about relationship itself, you know, working on their relationship skills. Dating causes people to grow. It causes them to have to learn to communicate. It causes them to have to learn to work through conflict. It causes them to have to begin to set boundaries, to be honest, to state their preferences, and valuable, valuable things. You know, I've got two daughters, and I want to watch them go through the dating process to learn how to deal with men and to learn how to deal with relationship and to grow in all those areas. Secondly, they need to learn by going out with a lot of different people about people. And what I find is that when singles do something awful, they have a type that they're attracted to. Or they think that there's this one kind or this one person, and they think that their attraction to somebody is a good barometer of who's valuable. And what we know about people's types and those attractions and this, that, and the other is those can be based on horrible, horrible pathologies and, you know, all sorts of sicknesses. Like, they only fall in love with the detached guy. Well, you know, if you're gonna marry the first one that you date and never really date, then you're gonna marry a detached guy, and that's what we see, you know, in the marriage counseling offices over and over and over. But when people go out with have a healthy dating experience where they're not getting involved and falling in love with everybody they go out with, but they're dating for the sake of dating, what they're doing is they go out with a detached guy 1 week, and they experience it, and they go back to their friends, and they go, I don't know, so, you know, the lights were on, but nobody was home, and I thought I liked him, and he was cute, but really it's kind of a lonely experience. And then they go out with another guy the next week that actually talked to them and opened up, and they're learning, wow, what I thought was good and what I thought was valuable really wasn't as valuable as this other type. And then they see what like a responsible person looks like, and they just are learning about people of the opposite sex. And, you know, Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who through practice have had their senses trained to discern good from evil. And I think that's a great verse to think about dating, because people need to experience a lot of different kinds of people without getting committed, without getting their heart involved, and they learn, you know, they learn to have their senses trained. And then thirdly, they learn about themselves, and they begin to grow through the process.
And, you know, that makes so much sense. What's fascinating about those three areas is that really that's things that in the world of youth ministry that I would teach kids in terms of healthy relationships. I want them to be a part of youth ministry. I want them to relate to the opposite sex, go through all this. But sometimes as adults, they say, no, I'm just going to look for that one person because they're fearful. They're fearful of some of the other things. It's interesting you use the word date well, because really with an emphasis almost on well, you know, date, yes, date well.
Jim, think about this. Of all the happily married people you know, if you went and interviewed them and you sat down and said, you know, would you have thought that you'd end up with somebody like him or somebody like her?
Yeah.
90% of the happily married couples, they start laughing. Oh, my gosh, no. I mean, he would have been the last person in this, that, and the other. But then you talk to these singles, and they think they know what they want.
Right.
They think they know what their type is. I've had singles tell me, well, I can go to lunch, and, you know, within 30 seconds, I can tell you if I'm going to be interested in the guy or not. And I say, you know what? If you can do that, you're psychotic, because that's just a projection. It's a transference. You need to get to know people before you make a decision like that.
That is really great advice. I'm kind of thinking personally, because I would say that I knew exactly what I wanted in Kathy, and Kathy would have been the one who had laughed and said, absolutely not. I would never wanted to marry this guy. And, you know, 31 years later, she's still stuck with me. Henry, I've got to ask you the question, and we don't have that much time left, and I'm going to ask you in a moment if you'll come back tomorrow, but I've got to ask you the question about Christians dating non-Christians. You've got a chapter in there that really says, you know, it's okay to be with non-Christians, you just don't marry them. Give me your input on that.
Well, that needs explaining, huh? Well, here's what I think, because I hear this question all the time. If there is any possibility, you know, if you're dating or you're going out with somebody looking to get emotionally involved or attached, or you might fall in love or something serious happen, then, you know, you better just stay away, because the last thing you want to do is fall in love with somebody who doesn't share your faith, because there's only two bad endings to that. One is that you end up with a painful breakup because you can't go forward with somebody who's not equally yoked, or worse than that, you end up going through and marrying somebody who doesn't share your faith, and then you're on two different life directions, and you're literally torn apart every day for the rest of your life. So that's the warning the book talks about. Now, on the other side of that, though, I don't see, if somebody is a really strong believer and there's no chance that they're going to fall in love with somebody or get involved with somebody, and somebody asks them, somebody interesting asks them to the company party or something, and to go spend time with a non-believer, like in a social interaction, well, that's what being salt and light is about. But it's sort of like, you know, I wouldn't send an alcoholic into a bar to have lunch,
right.
But I'd send Jim Burns into a bar to have lunch because, you know, he's not at danger. So, you know, you've got to understand the dangers.
Yeah, and that is really good advice. And understand there are dangers, and what we don't want to sound like is that every unbeliever is a bad person. There are many unbelievers who actually are probably more solid in many ways. It doesn't mean that we're to be yoked with them in marriage, but it does mean that we, you know, we can have a relationship with them, and actually go back to what you were saying earlier about learning about it. Henry, we are finished for the day. Will you come back? Because I only have about 27 more questions for the next day, and I really want to talk about the practical issues in terms of you know, some of these great principles that you have in your book. So will you come back?
I'll be here.
All right, and that brings us to the conclusion of the interview portion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, and our thanks again to Dr. Henry Cloud for recording this with us. Actually, a program we recorded a couple of years ago when Henry's book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping came out. We were so intrigued with this, especially because here at Homeward, the two aspects you heard Dr. Jim Burns mention, the fact that more parents are finding themselves single again and moving into the dating world, and also as a part of sexual purity, parents want to instill biblical values into the lives of our kids, and oftentimes we talk about the intimacy part, we don't talk about dating at all. And so that's why Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends this book, so we as parents can be more proactive in helping our kids learn how to date and how to get a date worth keeping. If you want more information on Henry's book on that topic, which is called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, just visit our Homeward Online Resource Center today at homeward.com. Go to the radio broadcast section. You'll find Henry's name on the schedule for today. Go ahead and click it, and it'll take you right to his website.
Dating is a crucial issue for parents and kids to discuss. Too many of us take our dating cues from the movies or television, and that's not what God wants us to do. He has so much more in store for us during the dating season, and that's why I want to conclude today's Homeward Broadcast by leaving you with two pieces of advice. Well, the first is, forget about love at first sight. Well, that's hard to say sometimes, because the first day I met Kathy, I fell madly and passionately in infatuation with her, but forget about love at first sight, it's a myth. Understand that feelings such as these are based on things that already are inside of us. They're not a reflection of some inherent value in the person with whom we're smitten by. Now, let me add this word of clarification here. When you feel what is commonly referred to as love at first sight, well, there may actually be something there. It's just not love, but it might be something that you can build upon and become a very important part of a relationship. And the piece of advice I want to leave you with today is, check your expectations at the door. Oftentimes, we look at dating as kind of a shopping for a mate. There's a truth to that element in a small way, but we find ourselves going down a mental checklist of attributes that the perfect person of yours has and how your date matches up. Well, real life doesn't work that way, so forget about it. Now, bear in mind, when it comes to marriage, there are some requirements, some spiritual qualities, and some character traits that are absolutely crucial. But when you're dating, sometimes we look for that perfect person in dating, and we don't even know that person. So as you get to know the person, have some fun. Dump some of the strongest expectations and get to know that person for who they are.
Boy, yeah, Jim, I'm reminded of the words of Ken Davis, the author, the humorist, Family Guy that we just love. And he says that his life got exponentially better the day he dumped his expectations from God and started living with expectancy. And as we think about the dating season, whether you're a parent encouraging your kids to get after it and get busy in the dating world and do it God's way, or if you're a parent yourself and you find yourself single again and moving into the dating world, this is a conversation that is worth having. And Dr. Henry Cloud has written a book called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. By the way, Dr. Jim Burns' Pure Foundations series for kids is just outstanding. Every one of those books about teaching your kids healthy sexuality, the purity code, and more. All of those books books are available for purchase in our online resource center, and when you purchase them from Homeward, as you purchase any of Jim's books from Homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that financial support, especially here at the end of our fiscal year. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.